worship you. I worship you. I've carried a burden to let it all go.
Praise the Lord. We're glad to be in the house of God tonight. We had several that decided to stay home due to the great and wonderful storm that's going on outside. It ain't doing nothing, is it?
It ain't storming.
But we're glad that you're here in the house of God tonight. Those that are here, those that have joined us on live feed, thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to touch and minister. In prayer requests, we got several connected to the church that are sick, some that are in the hospital, some that's got procedures coming up. So I want to keep them in our prayers. If you've got a prayer request, let me know by lifting your hand. God knows each need. Let's all stand, those that are able. Those that are joined us on live feed, if you have a prayer request, text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. We want to partner together with you in prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, again, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come to worship and praise you. What an honor and a privilege it is. Father, tonight I pray that you'll move and minister to the hearts and lives of each one, those that are in-house and those that are on live feed alike. I pray, Father, you'll move and minister in a mighty way. Open the windows of heaven and pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this service. I pray, Father, that you'll minister to each and every one. Touch our kids' class, our young adults, our teens' class, our Bible study here in the sanctuary, and those that are on live feed. Pray, Father, you'll move and minister in a mighty way. We forever give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen
and amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise and let's worship this afternoon in song. Amen.
Yes, if you'll get your hymn book and turn to page 119, and Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
Amen.
Savior, say, thy strength is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine own in all. Jesus paid it all to be thy own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Turn over just a little bit farther on 133. I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling.
Heavenly.
Feel like traveling on. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Again, we appreciate you being here with us this afternoon. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I had some good news given to me actually today. Said that somebody that watched on live stream said I looked bigger on the Roku TV. They didn't mean bigger this way. They meant bigger this way. Taller. Said I look taller on the TV. Brother Keith, you have messed us all up. That I looked taller on the TV. I'm going to move on. I feel like traveling on. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's good to laugh. Amen. Amen. Somebody just said it's good to laugh at me. If anybody wants to know who said that, Stan said it. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Again, thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Again, we appreciate you being with us. Amen. We're going to go take a look into the Word of God. The title of this, if you want to have a title, is Be Faithful Regardless. Be Faithful Regardless. There's many times that it is easy to feel like giving up. It's easy to feel like quitting. It's easy to feel like just turning around, taking the keys in and say, I'm done, I'm over with. But the Bible teaches us, and the Bible plainly talks to us and tells us, be faithful regardless. Be faithful regardless. And I want to take a look at this tonight. Take a look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what it says. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to know that this is part of the letter. This is a verse out of the letter that was written to the church at Smyrna. This is written to the church at Smyrna. 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 Maybe it made me feel taller on that. But this is a letter that's written to the church there. And I want you to hear one verse out of this letter. This letter says this. It says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Do not fear what you're about to go through. Do not fear what you are facing. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, we're not talking about any of us dying, so don't think that. There's not talking about that. But we all do know that death is just a part of life, right? Every one of us has faced that. Every one of us has come to that point in life. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks that have entered into that point, and guess what? It snuck up on them by surprise. One of the biggest things that Sister Hodo said about Brother Hodo dying is it was quick, it was sudden, it was unexpected. Some might would say, and Sister Hodo, if you're watching this, this is nothing bad. If some might would say, well, he was in his 90s. How would you not expect it? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know, to see him, to talk with him days, weeks prior to that, you wouldn't have thought that this was something that was coming up. You know, to talk to him at the hospital, you wouldn't have thought that this is the direction it was going. It doesn't matter how old or how young someone is, we're all appointed at a point to die. Now, every one of us has got a time, a date and a time that God knows that we're going to die. And I want you to understand something. I'm not going to rush that time. I'm not going to try to speed that time up. I know that God has got an appointment of ours that we're going to face death. And so somebody has actually said, well, I know that God's got a time for me to face death. And so, you know, I'm going to just live my life and do whatever. And I know that I'm not going to die until it's God's time for me to die. You know what? I'm not going to test that theory. I know that God's got an appointment. And my appointment time may be at 107 years old. But if I go and play in the middle of the interstate, just walking around, I might test the theory that I might reach that time quicker. Do you understand what I'm saying? We still got to do everything in our power to live our lives to the fullest. All of that being said, we're not talking about any of us dying, but what we need to understand, we're facing tribulation, we're facing trials, we're facing persecution. Things that we go through in our lives today is nothing like what was being faced 10 and 15 years ago. Things that was going on today is nothing of what would be going on in America or in this on planet Earth 20 years ago, 50 years ago. But I also want us to understand that we're not facing anywhere close to what the church was facing at this time. Now, to understand that, during the times that this letter was written, the citizens of that time had to offer an incense, had to offer an offering, had to offer a sacrifice, had to offer worship to a statue of Caesar. They was to cry out, they was to go to this statue of Caesar and cry out, quote, Caesar is Lord, unquote. They had to go to this statue and they had to cry out. So the citizens of the time in this town, in this time where this letter was written, they was being forced to go and offer worship to a statue. Now, the Christians of the time, they refused to cry out, and they would go and they would say, Jesus Christ is Lord. They wouldn't cry out, Caesar is Lord. They would cry out, Jesus Christ is Lord. For that cry, they lived and they died. Some of them died instantly. Some of them, they had a time frame in which they was given a recompense. They was given a time to change what they was thought, their thought process. They was given a time to change who was they was given their allegiance to. They was given a time to say, okay, we're going to let you change. If you'll change it from Jesus is Lord to Caesar is Lord, we'll let you live. But what we must understand is they didn't do that. Many of those Christians did not do that. Many of those Christians, they would die at an altar
there that was built and erected to Caesar. I don't know about you, but right now, today, on April the 10th, on April the 10th, at 6:45 p.m. on this Wednesday afternoon, I don't know of right now in America, I don't know of a statue that's been erected. I don't know of a statue that's been erected that we have to go and say that such and such person is Lord and Savior in our lives, other than we say Jesus Christ is our Savior. I don't know right now where in America that we would be executed for crying out unto somebody other than Jesus Christ. What we must realize and understand is that's what was going on in this time. Now, all that being said, Jesus' name is not allowed to be mentioned in many places, even in America. They don't want you to mention the name of Jesus. There's times that they'll actually arrest you and fine you for saying the name of Jesus. There's times that this is going on. You can't say Jesus in certain facilities, certain places. Why? Because the devil knows you can cry out to God all day long. But the Bible tells us that in the name of Jesus, even demons have to tremble. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's why the devil does not want the name of Jesus to be mentioned. That's why Caesar did not want the name of Jesus to be mentioned in this particular town, in this particular city. Smyrna was one of the most dangerous places for Christians to live due to many reasons. One of the reasons was that this was a great, huge population of Jews lived in this area. Many of the Jewish populations was becoming Christians, and the Jewish religious leaders of the day, they was finding their hold on people was dwindling and diminishing, and they was trying to persecute. And the tensions was greatly mount because of political and religious grounds. In some times such as this, Jesus gave the church of Smyrna these beautiful words, "Be faithful." I believe that even in today's time today, we need to understand that there are times of persecution. There's times of troubles. There's times of trials even around the corner. But what we must do is we need to be faithful. What does the words "be faithful" mean? In Hebrew, if you take a look at the words, "be faithful," this means to be steady, to be certain of God's truth, to remain loyal to God. I don't know about you, but there's nobody else that I need to be steady for. There's nobody else that I need to be certain for. There's nobody else that I can remain loyal to other than God Himself. Man's going to fail you, but God will never fail you. There's things that man will do will fail you. Husband and wives, they have gotten married, and then all of a sudden things starts happening in marriages. And they never think that somebody that they've married is going to fail them, but yet failure happens and takes place. Parents and children, that relationship, there's times where there's different ones that you would think that a parent would never actually turn their back on kids, but there's times even today that parents have turned their back on kids. Kids have turned their backs on parents. Husbands against wives. Wives against husbands. What we must understand is failure is bound to happen no matter where you look. But I want you to understand something. God will never fail you. That is something you'll be certain of. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. We can look at this. "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." What we must understand is the love of God, the faithfulness of God, is not going to forsake you. Man may forsake you, but God will never forsake you. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 tells us this: "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whosoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." If we will be faithful to God, if we'll trust and depend on God, I may not have $1 million in my bank account, but the blessings of God is going to always be right there beside me. Why? Because I'm going to turn my faithfulness to God. I'm going to depend on God at all times. It doesn't matter about your checking account. It doesn't matter about what your refund might be from the IRS. We was talking about that a few moments ago. But we must understand, all of these things can fail you, but God will never fail you. To that end, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us that we can rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. In that time of tribulation, in the times of troubles, in the times of trial, we got to be patient. We can't rush things. Why? Because we need to be constant in prayer. This past Sunday, we talked about what it is about the power of prayer, about how that prayer is powerful. You can pray, and guess what? Doctor's reports will change. MRI results will change. Lab results will change. The bank will change their mind. Lawyers can change their minds. Judges can change their minds. How? By the power of prayer. We need to be constant in our prayer life. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14 tells us this. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. Too many times people have thought that they can make war against the church, they can make war against God, they make war against Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, it will always fail. Why? Because the Lamb of God will conquer those that make war against Him. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and those who are called with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. I don't know about you, but the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, I don't know about you, but I have been called a child of God. I have been chosen as a part of a royal priesthood. I am going to be faithful to God. Why? Because He is faithful to me. I've got to be faithful to Him. If I am faithful, then He is just to be faithful to us. In all things, we need to be faithful to God. Amen? He will never fail us. If we take a look into the Word of God, when Jesus starts talking about His return, He asked in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, He tells us this. He says, Jesus spoke of His return, and He asked this question. He says, I tell you, when He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will Jesus Christ find faith on earth? That's a powerful question. That's a powerful question, because I'm going to tell you something. It seems like that man's faith in God is dwindling. 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, the number of people that was studied and that was surveyed, the number of people that was studied and given a poll and answered that poll, the number of people that considered themselves Christians 30 years ago was in the 70%. The number today is less than 50%. One study I've seen says that the number of people that consider themselves Christians, practicing Christians, I don't know what that means. I don't know what practicing Christians means. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to be faithful. If I'm a Christian, I'm not going to practice. I'm going to do the work that God's called me to do. I don't know what practicing is. When I took piano, I practiced playing the piano. That was the worst part of me taking piano. I wanted to be outside running and playing and hooping and hollering. Today, everybody wants to be inside playing games. But when I took piano, that's what I was supposed to do. Let me tell y'all a secret. Y'all don't tell nobody I said this, okay? What I would do, y'all definitely don't tell Sister Deborah I did this. She'd get mad at me. I'm kidding. She probably will. My piano teacher would give me a new piece to learn. My piano player would play certain portions of it during our lesson times, and she'd say, "All right, you go home and you learn, you play these two or three lines of this piece, and then next week we'll go through that, and then we'll work on a couple of more stanzas or lines or whatever it may have been that she did." And so I would go home, and I would get my mom to play it for me, and I wouldn't ever worry about it. She'd play it, I'd be done with it. I didn't practice a lot at the house. I'd go back to the piano lady's house. I'd go in there. I'd play that thing just as perfect, just as smooth, just as clear. But she tricked me. She played a piece one time, and she put a wrong note in there on purpose. Well, the next week, Sister Deborah, I played it perfectly, including the wrong note. She figured out quickly that I was just playing it by ear. I said, "I'm not playing by ear, I'm playing it by hands." She didn't appreciate that joke. So she told my mom, "Don't play these pieces for him no more." I had to start practicing more. I don't know what it means to be a practicing Christian. God has called us to do a work for Him. We're not here to practice. We're here to do a work for God. Amen? What we must understand is God is sending His Son back, and His Son is coming back to wanting to know, is anybody faithful to Him here on earth? I've noticed over the years the number of faithful to God is dwindling. The number of faithful to God is dwindled. We worship all these other things, but the question is, are we worshiping the God? Here this past Sunday, we've had Easter. This past couple of weeks we've had Easter. And you know what one thing, Brother Emery? You know one thing that all of these other religions cannot state? Christianity has a Savior that's not dead. Muslims have a Savior that's dead. Do you see what I'm saying? What we've got to realize and understand is God sent His Son. He died, but He rose again. And He is faithful to us. Are we being faithful to Him? Will He find us to be faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? Well, church, we need to be faithful in the small things. Too many times people want to be faithful to God just when I can have the limelight. I want to be faithful to God just when I can have somebody to pat me on the back. I want to be faithful to God just when somebody knows that I picked up that piece of trash. There's nothing wrong with taking pictures and documenting things that's done. But when you have to make sure that people knows that you've done something for somebody else, and you're documenting and you're making sure that everybody's attaboy to you, there's where the problem lies. We need to be faithful to God in the small things. I want to do things for God even if nobody knows that I did it. I'm going to share with you something just to show you what I'm talking about. Now, I don't want the first person to say attaboy or anything to me on this, because I want to show you what I'm talking about. There's been many a times that people connected to this church has gotten an envelope given to them by somebody else in this church. And there was cash in there because they was going through a hard time. They was going through a trial, and they needed a little bit of cash. They have no idea where that came from. I've been handed cash many a times. Said, "Could you give this to so-and-so? Could you give this to so-and-so?" You know what? Whoever so-and-so was would never know where that cash came from. Why? Because that's not the point. The point was somebody wanted to be a blessing. Somebody wanted to help somebody in a time of need, in a time of struggle. Let me tell you something. It's all about being faithful in the small things. God does great work with the small things. A baseball bat in my hand is worth nothing. But in the hands of a gentleman by the name of Babe Ruth, it's worth a whole lot more than it is in my hands. A basketball in my hands ain't even worth what you're going to pay for it at Walmart for. You know, because, I mean, I can slam dunk, Brother Larry, on a kid's basketball goal. But a basketball in my hands is worth nothing. But a basketball in Michael Jordan's hands, there you go. There's a gentleman by the name of Tiger Woods. Golf club in my hands, it ain't worth nothing. But a golf club in his hands is worth a whole lot more, right? What we've got to realize and understand is I'm not doing this so that I can get an attaboy, so that I can get a pat on the back. When we do something for God, when we're faithful in the small things, it's not about me getting something, but it is about God getting the glory, God getting the honor, because it's in the hands of God, it's worth a whole lot more. Take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I've told our Sunday school teachers here. Let me tell you something. Church. You just do not understand what a valuable resource that you guys have got. Our nursery, our kids, our teenagers, our young adults. These Sunday school teachers that come in every Sunday, our nursery Sunday school teacher, our kids Sunday school teachers, our teenager Sunday school teacher, our young adult Sunday school teacher, they spend time throughout this past week, throughout the week prior to that Sunday service, they spend their family time. Y'all don't realize this. Some of it may not dawn on. They spend their valuable family time studying the Word of God to come in on Sunday morning to teach our nursery, our kids, our teens, our young adult Sunday school classes. They come in and they spend their valuable family time studying the Word of God to come in. Oh, it's nursery. It's no big deal. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You can teach the same lesson each week on nursery. No. Let me tell you something. Those kids in that nursery, those kids in the kids class, those kids in the teen class. Let me tell you something. They are listening, and they're absorbing what these teachers are presenting to them. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. These teachers are spending that valuable family time studying to bring the Word of God to our babies, our kids, our teens, and our young adults. We don't need to take that for granted. But I've told every one of them, I don't care if there's one, if there's five, if there's 15 in your class. I don't care if there's 25 in your class. You study and you do that. Just like there'd be 100 in there. You know why? Because if you're faithful over the one, God's going to multiply. God's going to increase. God's going to provide. Amen? The reward is going to be great when you do it for the little things. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know what? When one of the churches we was at, somebody came in on a Sunday night. We had service on a Sunday night, and somebody came in, and they asked Sister Carrie after service. There was five people in the house. Me, Sister Carrie, Miss Katie, that's three of them. There was another couple came. We had church that night. There's about two, you know, there's probably There's probably five or six in there. And so one of the ladies, it was a guest, asked Sister Carrie, said, does he preach like if there's five or there's 500? She said, yep. You know why? And they said, why? Because he don't know what somebody might need that's in there. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I love it when there's people here. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter to me the number. I'm going to continue to pour my heart out. Why? Because I know somebody needs to hear from God. Amen? And what we've got to realize and understand is I know that by pouring into somebody's life, I don't know what's going on in their lives, but down the road, I may hear of a good report. And I love hearing that. Well done, good and faithful servant. I may not ever hear something here, but I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I want you to understand something. Some people never accomplish anything because they're waiting around to do something great, something grandiose, something large for everybody to see. Too many times people are looking for the grandiose things, the things that puts a billboard up, but I want you to know something. God is looking for somebody to go into the nursing home ministry and teach there at the nursing home where nobody's going to know them. God's wanting to know somebody to go into the prison cells to teach something to those that are captive. Hello? Literally captive. That's what God is looking for. Some people never accomplish because they say, whoop, I'm called into ministry, and they want pulpit ministry. There's more to ministry than standing behind a pulpit. Some people never accomplish because they wait around to do something great and mighty and big. Let me tell you what God is able to do, the small things. Let me tell you about God taking the small things. God is able to take the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God is able to take the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God is able to take the lowly things of this world, the despised things of this world, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man would boast before him. As it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Brother Andy, that ain't biblical. I just quoted you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 31. I want you to understand something. It's not about Brother Andy boasting over Brother Andy. It's about we need to be boasting over the things of God. But people forget that. We need to be faithful over the small things. We also need to be faithful over in times of adversity. American churches, we're spoilt rotten. We don't know anything about adversity. We don't know anything about trials and troubles and things like that. I know that I've spoken many a times about mission trip that I went on in Venezuela. God never has opened the door for me to go on another mission trip. If it ever happens, I'd love to step into that area again one more time just to go to be on. It's eye-opening. Let me just tell you something. It's eye-opening. But I was there on a mission trip. It's coming up to my turn for me to preach, me and my translator. My translator had to learn a third language. My translator spoke Spanish as the original language. Their second language was English. Their third language was mine. They told me very quickly, you are going to have to slow down, enunciate your words so that I can understand what you're saying. Y'all, it was very comical having a translator. It was something that was, yes, okay. Poor fella. We walked out, and it was our turn. It was my turn to go in, and I was going in to preach. They'd done the praise and worship. I couldn't have told you a song they sung. I didn't understand a word they sung, but I was looking through a little opening over this side. They told me there was about 450 people in that sanctuary. I couldn't have told you a word they was saying, but you know what? I was looking through over there, and I was looking out, and people was doing this number. They was waving their arms up to God. That piano was out of tune. I did know that. They didn't care. There was people on that stage that couldn't carry a tune worth a flip. They didn't care. They were singing praises unto God. They were singing it to the top of their lungs. There was people in that congregation. They was just waving. They was just waving their hands back and forth, and they was worshiping God. When I walked out, they handed me and my translator a microphone. When we got to the pulpit, I said, praise the Lord. They shouted, praise the Lord. The power went off. I looked at my translator. I said, now what do we do? He said, I'm ready to preach if you are. I said, okay, let's go. We had church. I preached just like the power was on. I preached to 450 people without a PA system. I preached to 450 people in the middle of the hot summertime and with no air conditioning. They opened the back doors. They raised the windows. I was sweating, and I don't sweat. I don't sweat. Until it gets way hot. And you just can't help but sweat. You could have wrung a full gallon of water out of my t-shirt. And I don't sweat. As a general rule, I don't. But them folks would preach you slapped to death. It come time to the altar service. I said, okay, where do we go for, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, there ain't a whole lot of room down here. They said, so let's go for it. We got in the altar. We started praying with folks. 3 hours later, we're still praying with people. American churches, we don't know anything about adversity. We don't know anything about trials. We don't know anything about tribulation. We don't know anything like the Christians of Smyrna. These folks knew suffering. These folks knew adversity. These folks knew trials. Brother Andy, you don't understand. We have troubles and things going on right now. Sure we do. But we ain't seen nothing yet. We have not seen anything yet. In the sufferings and the trials, the believers of Smyrna faced afflictions, and they began to get crushed under the weight of those afflictions. They faced poverty. They faced economic hardships. They faced sanctions. They faced slander, all because of their faith. In the letter that was written, we find that it was written to the, there's a reference to the Jews. It's not referring to all the Jews, because there was a lot of Jews of that day was turning their heart and their life over to Christianity. Those leaders who opposed the Christian faith, this is who this letter was referring to. Many of the Jews of the time, just like today, However, they put their faith and their trust and dependence on God. I wonder what it would be like with some Christians today if we was to go into a time of poverty because of our faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't care if it's on live feed or not. We might get kicked off here in just a second. That'd be all right. I had an IRS agent tell me. I've had an auditor to tell me. I've had others to tell me. The IRS is coming against Christianity, is coming against pastors, is coming against churches. These are the things that are going on right now in America. I don't really care. It's fine. What we must realize and we must understand is, yes, there is economic problems and trials coming against Christianity. How many people will renounce the faith because somebody took another $10 bill out of their pocket? What we've got to realize and understand, we have faced nothing compared to what these guys in Revelation has faced. Are we being faithful to Christ regardless of the sufferings, regardless of the difficulties? Suffering is a test of our faith. All suffering is a test that both reveals and refines our faith. Our faith depends. Our faith is tested through those trials, through those troubles. And I'm going to tell you something. God is looking and wanting to know, are we going to be faithful even during the times of trials? Why? Because suffering only lasts for a short time. Suffering only lasts for a short time. Satan's time is limited. We must always remember, the devil does not have more power than what God allows him to have. The devil is not all-powerful. The devil is not all-knowing. The devil is not everywhere. What we must realize is the devil only has the power and the authority that God allows him to have. Satan's time is limited. We must always remember, when you are facing suffering, that time of suffering, it will pass. More importantly than all of that, we must remember that a time of suffering is a matter of trust. Are you going to trust in God? Are you going to respond to suffering just like Jesus did? Are you going to commit yourself to God just like Jesus did? Because when we do, we need to understand God's going to bring us through suffering. God's going to bring us through those trials as refined, pure gold. The last thing that we need to understand is we need to understand that we need to be faithful to the end. This one right here probably hits home more than anything else. We need to be faithful to the end. There are too many Christians that stop short of their goals. I can't tell you how many times that people have gotten scared of what God is fixing to do in their lives because it's something different, it's something new, it's something spectacular, and I don't know where this is going, and I stop and take a step back because I'm afraid of what's lying ahead. What we must understand is we need to be faithful with God to the end. Don't stop short of your miracle. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn around. Keep pressing on. Keep pushing towards the goals of the prize of the high calling of God. Jesus tells the church of Smyrna, he tells them to be faithful to the end. Go back and look at Revelation. Look at that in the very beginning. Revelation chapter 2, I think it was. Look at what it says. It says, the devil's going to throw some of you in prison. Be faithful unto. I don't know of anything more definitive of an ending than death, right? On this walks of life, that's the end. But we must realize death is not the end. Yes, it's the end of our walk on this. Again, in the very beginning of this, I told you, I'm not trying to rush death. I enjoy my life. There's times I enjoy it a little less than others, but I mean, I enjoy my life. I don't enjoy going to the dentist. I don't like going to the eye doctor. I don't like tax season. But I enjoy my life. I enjoy the fact that I have life and I can have it more abundantly. Why? Because God has given us that guarantee. Why? Jesus overcame death. Jesus has given us the promise of eternal life. Jesus has removed from us the fear of death. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to worry about what's happening beyond death. I had a young man just in the last, I'm going to say in the last 3 months, so I don't narrow it down. I had a young man just in the last 3 months has told me, he said, I used to fear what would happen when I take my last breath. But I don't fear that anymore. Church, you know what? I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen when I take my last breath. And you know what? Furthermore, I don't have to worry about who I'm leaving behind, because I know that if God takes me, God's going to take care of them. Right? What we've got to realize, Brother Andy, are you trying to get closer to death? No, I'm not. I told y'all I want to live to 107. So I'm not ready for death, okay? I don't want y'all to think of me talking about this right now, make you think that I'm ready for death. I'm not. I want to live a full life. Us in Revelation chapter 2 verse 8, it tells us that Jesus is he who died. It actually means that Jesus experienced death as a temporary event. Death is a temporary state. Death could not hold Jesus. Death could not conquer who Jesus is. You know what? Jesus came back to life again. Means that Jesus resurrected, and resurrection is a permanent state. Death is temporary. Resurrection is permanent. I don't have to fear death. Why? Because resurrection's right around the corner. I don't have to be afraid of death because resurrection's right around the corner. Think about it. Death is temporary. Eternal life is forever. I don't have to be afraid of death because I get to spend eternal life with the one who created all of us. Jesus experienced the worst that life could give, and he conquered it. We just celebrated Easter. Jesus experienced the worst that life could ever give to anybody, and Jesus conquered it. We live and we move and have our being in him so we too can face the worst that life has to offer us. No matter the consequences of life, that includes cancer, that includes arthritis, that includes Parkinson's, that includes deafness, that includes blindness, that includes immobility, that includes all of these things, we can conquer these things. Why? Because when that time comes that I cross over Jordan, I'm going to be able to walk around in a new body. The things that this life throws at us, I don't have to fear them. Why? Because I'm getting something new down the road. We live when we move, and we can face the worst things in life. Why? Because we know that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Last thing. He gives us the crown of life so we do not have to fear death. The crown of life is the victor's crown given at an athletics event. The crown was a garland worn by the champions of Olympic-style games. The crown of life stands in contrast with the second death. What is in contrast with the second death? Eternal life. Church, we don't have to be afraid. We just need to be faithful regardless of what's thrown our way. Do you know what's easy? Giving up. Do you know what's easy? Turning around. Do you know why turning around is easy? We've already went down that road. It's easy because I know that path. It's easy because I know the stumbling blocks that's there. It's easy because I've already faced all of that. It's easy to turn around. What's hard is to continue to press forward. But what we've got to do is we've got to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. No matter the trials, no matter the troubles, no matter the persecution, no matter the things that are thrown our way, we keep pressing forward. Why? Because that's what lies ahead, our eternal life with Him. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you again this afternoon, again, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come to worship in you. Father, I pray that you'll just move and minister into the hearts and lives of each one, those that are in-house and those that are watching on our live feed. Father, I pray that you'll touch and minister each one. Whatever life throws our way, God, I'm praying that you'll help us to continue to take one more step forward. It's not about multiple steps forward. It's about one more step forward. It's about one more step towards the prize of the mark of the prize of the high calling. God, help us not to get caught up in the things of this world, but to help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to keep pushing to what lies ahead. God, I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Live feed, thank you so much for being with us. Join us back Sunday school Sunday morning at 9:45. Make an appointment to be in Sunday school. These Sunday school teachers have done a phenomenal job studying. Make a point to bring your kids to Sunday school. Let's be a part of what God is doing around Coosa Valley. May God bless you. Amen and amen.